Here we are again, another week going by. We're getting that much closer. So I'm excited. It's been a great week. Like I said, it's just so good to be here tonight and to minister the word. And you know that's important. Amen. All right. Well, we're back in. We're going to start back off in chapter 42. We're still in Maquettes, by the way. And it's just this is just so beautiful. Every time I go back and sit down and look at it, it's perfect. How you know his ways are perfect? Amen. It's tamim. And we ought to spend time with him and look into it, especially with everything that's happening around the world. So that ought to give us a urgency, a sense to want to just dive into him and just spend time with him. And that's how we learn. So we're going to take it from the top, which I don't have further to go to review. We just got one verse to look at, so which I have many verses to look at, I can promise, more than one verse, but just in this chapter. So anyway, let's get started. And when Yaakov saw that there was grain in Mitzrayim, Yaakov said to his sons, "Why do you look at each other?" Now we learned a little something in Midrash about that verse. In another, some digging. Why are you lazy? So, that's still a hard one to find and tricky to look at. You really got to dive in and look, search for it. But it's still, why are you looking at each other? You know, there's a famine going on in the land. I heard, the daddy said, I heard something. I've seen it. I've heard it. And we're going to cover that. I don't want to get too wound up too fast. He said in verse 2, and he said, "See, I have heard that there is grain in Mitzrayim." First he saw that there was grain, and now he have heard that there's grain in Mitzrayim. "Go down to that place and buy for us there, and let us live and not die." Now I've read this several times, every day this week. And a few things that start out that I thought was very important. This has to do with seeing. Before I get started, I want to read something what our master said. Because I want us to take our time and really look at these couple of verses. So our master said something in Matthew chapter 5. And we all know this verse, 5:17. This is the words of our master. Because if we're going to pay attention to anybody in Scripture, it definitely would be our master. He said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah to all be done." So he's telling us right there that when you walk outside, the heaven and the earth are still there. We're not doing away with it, because if that's the case, what are we wasting our time here going back and reading to the Torah? Because this is what he said for us to do. None of it's going to pass. So he came to teach us how to live it out. So go back to our lesson. But I just wanted to point that out, because we're going to look at something that's really simple that, like I said, I don't want to miss anything that he had to say, that Moshe wrote. It's the word, we learned one thing last week, the word saw had to do with re'eh. It had to do with seeing. Also, the word in verse 2, he says, I have heard that there is grain in Mitzrayim. Go down there to that place and buy for us there, and let us live and not die. Well, that word right there, see, is the word behold. It's H2009. Now, in the English, we know what it is when you behold something. So I'm going to click on it, and let's go to the word is hine. Hine means to low, or behold, see. Lo is using an exclamation. So it'll kind of be a little English grammar teaching kind of. But what really caught my attention is not so much the related word, H2005, we'll touch on that. It's when you look at the ancient Hebrew. So I tried to spend as much time as I could looking at it. And it's the hey and the noon. And the hay and the noon is when you combine these two together, it means a looking towards something continually. How do you, To me, that was exciting to me because how you know his word is something we should be continually looking at despite of what's happening. I know he wants us to be, you know, so aware of our surroundings, but what do we continue looking at? Yaakov put it, and when you look in the mirror, you see yourself, then you go and you forget who you are. That's not what we want to do. We don't want to forget. We want to continue to look at his word constantly. Look, put him under the microscope if you have to. Spend time with him. So I thought that was very important. When you look at these construct words, all these definitions, I'm going to show you how they all fit in Scripture, because there's so many verses that tie into that, to the word behold. It says it's to look, and the abstract is hear. Well, I know one thing, his word is here. And I'm so glad that I get a chance to speak this tonight. I'm just trying to go slow. As I'm just sitting, I imagine myself sitting on my couch just drinking my coffee going through this. It's also, when you look at the CO, it means there. There is a place, a person, place or thing that is somewhere else, a desired place or outcome. Now that is interesting. It's also a possible or desired location. Now, we know right now this is all happening in Mishraim. But in his word, is this happening anywhere else in his word? This is what I want to look at in his word. Can I go somewhere else and look into his word and still be able to connect this to Yosef? We're about to find out. He says, they, a people or things over there, a possible or desired outcome. A people or things over there, they, there, those, them. Look at, just follow me with the definitions. Here, to draw attention to a place or event. You don't think that was an event going on in Mishraim? When the famine, remember, the good years have come to an end. Now the tough times are here. That's a big event. Because people now is coming in from all over the place. Because why? There's food there. They're in hunger. They're in need. Look, when you get people that's hungry and need, that's some crazy things start happening. And we're going to look at that in the scripture. Behold, looking at what is here, behold, see, lo, substance. And I thought that was interesting. Because substance is an abundance of something that fills what is desired. One thing we fill with a desire is our belly. And that's what the people were desiring, because they needed food, not only for themselves, for their animals. And look, it was piling up. Joseph was piling up so much, couldn't even be counted. And the scripture says about substance, it's not only that we go into repentance this chapter, it talks about faith. Because we have to have faith to believe that this, what we're reading, went on back then. And how is that relevant for us today? We know what faith is, the substance, according to Hebrews 11, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It says, by it, the elders obtain a good report. Amen. Well, yeah, well, of course, because they can tell some stories. You know, I can learn from that. I can glean from that. But how do you know that it takes faith to believe what God said? That's what really what faith is when it boils down to it. Do we trust him enough in the, not only in the good time, but what about in the tough time? What about the time when they tell you, like you told me last week, last Sunday, I ain't got no work for you this week. Okay. We have to trust him. We have to take him at his word, believing in what he said. That's what faith does. So we have to have faith to operate. Substance, rich. Look at the next one. Rich. These are all added when you build and construct words. And you remember, construct words are something that you can build upon. You can build upon his word. Rich, substance, wealth, enough, naught. Wow. So look, so this is a big subject. And it all comes from this word, behold. A standard of measure. Don't you think when they were buying stuff, the stuff was measured out? Now, everybody came. Some of them bought big quantities, depend how far they were away. I'm sure the further you live away, the more you bought. Because according to what I find in some of my studies, thank you, Father, that the time when Joseph's brothers came there, they bought enough grain to last them 1 year. Now, this is what I found. I ain't gonna say that's 100% accurate, but it's very possible. Because remember, this is no short journey. And then we read the scripture, it makes it seem like it's just something simple, a couple days away, no, they're coming from a long ways. So all this, you'll find this when you start digging and looking in the scripture. So hine is to see, behold, to look at. Also, the hain, if you push the H 2005, it goes to the word hain. Hain is low, like excited. Also, as expressing surprise, if, the word if is there, behold, lo, through. Thought. Though. That's what I had it right. I had it right the first time. So anyway, this is something that I thought it was beautiful. So in my time, so remember all these definitions. Look at them, because I'm going to show you where the word see and the word saw. Two different words, pretty much same definition, but so we're going to kind of look like seesaw. So I thought that was kind of funny. I thought it was kind of making myself laughing when I was looking into it, because that's what you get out of it, seesaw. So let's see if it's anywhere else. Like I said, this place, this substance, can we find in his word? Can we navigate through his word? Is there anywhere else in scripture that we can link all this to? Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 5. I know some of these stories are going to be familiar for some of y'all. But maybe we're going to see how much seesawing goes on in some of these verses. We're going to start around, I hate skipping, but verse 15. We're going to take it from there because we got a little bit of reading to do. This is some of this. But anyway, we know that in the previous verses, it talks about Naaman. Naaman, we would say, but in the Hebrew, it's Naaman. When he, listen to the man, go dip in the Jordan. Really? Well, see, the faith is right there. But his servant said, look, if he'd have told you to do this, would you not humble to the man? So what is it? He decided to listen. He changed his attitude. Do we need that? Yes. We should have change in attitude. This is what the word does. It changes us. It's designed to make you his reflection, his character. Can you imagine if Yosef never had a character change after he held his firstborn son, how he would have spoke to his brothers when he saw them for the first time? How he would have just blew it all. And a lot of lives would have perished. So it took faith to do what Yosef did at the time of his life. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15, we're going to pick up this story right here. He said, and he returned to the man of Elohim, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, see, look at that. Now I know that there is no Elohim in all the earth except in Yisrael. And now please take a gift from your servant. This is Naaman. But he said, as Jehovah lives, whom I stand, I do not accept. And Elisha, the prophet. So yeah, just so you know who the players are. And Gehazi. This gets beautiful. Before whom I stand, I do not accept it. And he pressed on to him to accept it, but he refused. And Naaman said, if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth. For no longer is your servant going to make an ascending offering and slaughtering to the mighty ones, but to Jehovah. Now, I thought that was a little interesting that he wants 2 mules load of dirt. I'm like, what in the world? Why would he want that? So, of course, I got to go dig for that. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase it a little bit, what I found, that he wanted part of what he remembered from that land of Jehovah to bring back with him to remind him. So when he makes sacrifice to Jehovah, he had that earth, something visible to see there. He wants to take back something from the land. So probably the best I can explain it. Because it just seems like why would you want, what do you want to do with some dirt? But he's got dirt where he's going back to. But he don't have this dirt. He don't have this substance. It says in verse 18, Yehovah grant forgiveness to your servant in this matter. When my master goes into the house of Ramon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down in the house of Rimmon, Yehovah, please grant forgiveness to your servant in this matter. You know, there's a lot of idol worship going on out there at that time. And no different than it is today. There was idol worship going on in Mitzrayim. We know that to be a fact. And he said, go in peace. And he went from him some distance. And Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of Elohim, said, look at the word look right there. It's H 2009. So we're going to see how many times we're going to see and saw in these verses. Look, my master had spared Naamanda, this Aramean, while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as Jehovah lives, I shall run after him and take whatever from him. And Gehazi pursued Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running, let me just put that out, he came down from the chariot to meet him and said, is there peace? And he said, peace. My master, that ain't true. My master, okay, has sent me saying, look, okay, even now two young men of the sons of the prophet has come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. We've heard that name before. That's a connection back to where we're at. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garment. And Naaman said, please accept two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and handed them to the two of his servants, and they bore them ahead of him. And when he came to the high place, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house and let the men go, and they went. And he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? Oh, boy. And he said, your servant do not go nowhere, anywhere. I've been here the whole time. But he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to accept silver and to accept garments? And olive trees and vineyards and sheep and cattle and male and female servants. I think he covered it all. Is it time for that? There's going to be a time when, you know, because this can go straight to Yeshua when he talks with his disciples. But I left that alone. And so, let's continue. So the leprosy of Naaman cling to you and to your descendants forever. And he went out from him as leprous as snow. What a terrible time. He said, how does that link into where we're at in the Torah portion? Well, you got to just give me a minute. Don't be rushing me. I'm trying to do this real slow. So we got to go to the next chapter. We got to keep reading. We got to keep reading. Now, I'm going to skip this first few verses. It talks about the axe head when they went cutting down these trees. But I always heard the axe. I was told from a young person, I've probably been Casey's age, when I heard this story about an axe head swam, okay, which it takes faith to believe that an axe head swam, but the scripture talking about how it floated. I'm going to go with that definition when you start to look, because I Googled that, trust me. But let's look at verse 8. Let's start from there. Chapter 6, verse 8 in 2 Kings. And the sovereign of Aram was fighting against Yisrael and took counsel with his servant, saying, my camp is in such and such a place. That was interesting. That ties in with the definition. And the man of Elohim sent to the sovereign of Yisrael, saying, be on guard. Do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down here. We've been told time and time again, stay in touch with Elohim. Spend time reading. We hear from the man of Elohim all the time. Remember his Shabbat. Guard his words. Spend time. We've heard these words before. The servant of Yisrael then sent to the place of which the man of Elohim had spoken to him and warned him, so that he was on his guard there not once and not twice. Didn't listen to the man of Elohim. And ain't that's some people today. It doesn't matter if I'm speaking or one of the brothers speaking or even our pastor speaking. Some people just don't listen. That's some sheep that are a little, they tender. That's just the bottom line. I'm just saying, that's what the scripture says. So if they didn't listen back then, what's the biggest thing in the year 2025 that they're going to listen today? That's no, you have to do it in here. You have to have faith, believing when somebody's speaking, look at the words, follow along with them, look at the story. And this greatly troubled the heart of the servant of Aram. And he called his servants and said to them, declare to me, who of us is for the sovereign of Yisrael? And one of his servants said, none, my master, O sovereign. For Elisha, the prophet who is in Yisrael, declares to the sovereign of Yisrael the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now, how he gets information? There's only one source. Because I can tell you, Yaakov, when he had insight. And I believe that Yosef, that gene was kind of passed down to Yosef. Because Yaakov, how did he hear that was food in Mishraim? How did he see this? I believe he had some, we know from a young man, he had dreams. And he had, look, when a man can go and peel stripes and for sheep to bear other sheep, he had some spiritual insight. So all this seeing had to do not just physically, but also spiritually, his insight. So does Elisha have this? He hears the sovereign speaking in his bedroom. I wonder how he gets this information. And he said, go and see where he is so that I send and get him. And it was reported to him saying, see, he is in Dothan. These are all words that we have learned. Aram, Dothan. We're dealing with seeing here tonight. And Saul, seesaw. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the house. Ain't that something? And the servant, the man of Elohim, rose early and went out. Now that word is interesting. Yatsah. When I read it instantly, I knew what it was. And saw an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, O my master, what do we do? And he answered, do not fear. I mentioned this the other night. I tell my guys when I'm on the boat, don't panic. This is not a time that we should be panicking because what's happening outside these four walls. It's not a time for the believer to be panicked. What we should do? Look into his word. That's where, after all, this is where our hope is. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. He told us that it is going to happen. He told us about the fightings and the wars and the rumors of war. This is no shock to the believer. But, it's travesty. Your heart goes out when you hear of 67 people lose their lives in just a matter of seconds, thinking they're about to land on the plane. But your heart goes out to the people. But that's not something we should be in fear about, because these things happen. Do not fear, don't panic. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. You hear me tonight? Those who are with us are more than what's out there. That's what I believe. Amen. And Elisha prayed and said, Yehovah, I pray, open his eyes and let him see. Uh-huh. Oh. And Yehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he looked and saw. We got a seesaw right there. And the mountain covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Now, you think if he'd done that for Elisha, he wouldn't do that for you? It takes faith to believe this. These stories that we read about, they ain't just stories to amuse us or get us excited. It's to build your faith, your character. The scripture said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Right. Oh, boy. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Yehovah and said, strike this nation with blindness, I pray. Now they can't see. Oh boy. And he struck the whip blindness according to the word of Elisha. No, listen, it's no more special than you and I. Yehovah called him. He called every one of us. Do we really want to spend time with him? Because we can do these things. Yeshua said, and this is going to take a lot of faith. He said, the work that I do, greater work than you're going to do, that I do, that you can do. It takes faith to believe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We doubt ourselves. We think, ain't no way we can do greater work. This is what he said. If we doubt ourselves, what are we doing? We calling him a liar? I don't think so. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me. Now, they're all blind, but he wants them to follow him. Really? I thought that was a little moment right there. And let me bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Shemaron. And it came to be when they had come to Shemaron, that Elisha said, Yehovah, open the eyes of the men so that they see. And Yehovah opened their eyes, and they looked and saw. They were in the midst of Shemaron, looked and saw. So, see, this word behold and ra'eh, it's been in the scripture for a long time. I don't want to pass nothing over, because this is what the master said. We can't pass nothing up. Even though we know what it means in English, we don't want to pass it up, because now every time I see it, I know what I'm looking at now. Verse 21. And when the sovereign of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, should I strike? Should I strike? I called my pastor yesterday. I said, when I knew about his vehicle situation, I said, do you want me to get Kepha and Shimon and Levi and grab our swords and go start whacking it? He said, no, brother, don't do that. This is what he said. You want to strike them? This in the natural, you want to do that. This is what flesh. This is what flesh does. It rises. Excuse me. It rises up in you, and sometimes it's just the aggravation of it. Yes, it's definitely a roadblock. If you were here Wednesday night, it's definitely a roadblock. But he said, "Do not strike. Do you strike those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set food and water before them, and let them eat and drink, and go there." And go to their master. And he made a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he let them go. And they went to their master. And the bands of the Arameans, raiders, came no more into the land of Israel. Ain't that something? How Yehovah just feed them. Take care of them. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. Give them drink. This is what our master taught. Who do you think Elisha's doing here? There ain't time to strike. But this is... this is just so good. But this is the height of it right here. We've got to keep reading now. This is where it really ties in, what I want to get to. Verse 24. And after this, it came to be that Ben-Hadad, the sovereign of Aram, mustered all his army and went up and besieged Shemaron. And there was a great scarcity of food. What's happening in Israel? Mizraim. I'm thinking about Israel so much. It's Mizraim. Scarcity of food. It's happened over there in the time of Yosef. So that's why I said, his definition that I read earlier, how can you link it to another place? It's in Yah's word. We just have to be willing to go search for it. And there was great scarcity of food in Shemaron, and see, they besieged it until a donkey's head went at 80 pieces of silver, and one-fourth of a knob of dove droppings went for 5 pieces of silver. When you go down to in one of the definitions, I think it's the very last one, in behold, it talks about measurement and scales and weight. This is what's happening. Because they had to buy stuff and measure. They talk about, I think the word measure is in there. Verse 26, and it came to be, as the sovereign of Israel was passing on by the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help! My master, O sovereign. And he said, if Yehovah does not help you, where do I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press? If you, when you're in need, when you're in help, That's the first one we need to go to, is him. Because that's what I had to do. When they told me, look, you ain't got no work, what are you going to do? Well, that's the only thing I know what I had to do. In a natural sense, what I did, I called a couple people. Then I presented my case before Yehovah early in the morning when it was just me and Sylvie just hanging out on the couch. And they're like, you know, unless you provide, I have nothing. You're my provider. So we have to trust him. We have to have faith that he's gonna do what he says he's going to do. But listen to this famine, how bad it was. And the servant said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman said to me, give your son and let us eat him today, and tomorrow we eat my son. Yes. Now look, when the famine gets that bad and we can't trust in Yehovah, what do we got to cook someone else? What are we looking? Why are you being so? What we learned last week? You're looking at each other. It reminded me of the cartoon when you had mentioned that. How they're looking at one another like food. And you know that cannibalism really happened. This ain't the first time. This really happened. And then I think about the cartoon with the little sailors on the boat, because one looks like him like a hot dog and one looks like a hamburger. You know, we see and we laugh at that. But it points to this. When you can think about it, it's funny because I'm using it in the funny, but look, when in all reality, it really ain't funny. You know, like I shared the other night with Brother AJ. You know, he texted me, he said, he just got back from Atlanta, and he went up there and he's talking about a woman approached him in fishnet stockings, all wet. He said, boy, things would be bad up here. She's chasing a bunch of Amish guys around. You know, it was. He said, but it's a sad situation. I said, yes, it is, brother. I said, but one thing I shared with him, in Psalms 37, I said, David said, I was young. I said, I'm the noon. You know, but he said, I was young, but now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I said, we're his children. I said, this is the letter noon. It means his seed. We're his seed. We shouldn't, you know, are you going to be in need of a few things in life? Yes. You're going to need help? Of course. But our help comes from him. We have to rely on him. We have to have our faith to trust in him in the good time and the bad. And this is a bad time. It wasn't only bad in Yosef's time. It's bad right here. Cook your son? Oh, boy. You've crossed the line. That's a fine line that we can't cross. I can't imagine being in that much hunger where you let flesh just take over and consume you to where you want to eat another human. And what's to come in this time and age? If we live long enough, are we going to get to that? It's very possible. I wouldn't rule this out. Look, this is what happens when you spend time with him on a one-on-one, because you want to know, is it somewhere else? Where else can we look in the scripture to navigate? And he brought me to this. And it came to be when the servant heard the words of the woman that he tore his garments. And as he passed by the wall, the people looked and saw the sackcloth on his body underneath. It's terrible times. And the Bible, it warns us. It lets us know, pay attention. It's time to wake up. When Brother Rob called me today, and he said, look, I'm probably going to be a little late. Yes. Because this has been welling up all week. And when you got something you want to let it out, you just want to let it out. So look, and I don't mind. I even told him early in the week. I said, brother, I don't know which one of y'all got it, you or Brother Chad, but yeah, let y'all decide. But if you tell me, look, brother, I'm busy and you can have it, that's no problem. I said, I'll be ready. And it came to be, okay, we read that, verse 30. And he said, Elohim, do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on him today. The pastor's fault, right away. Huh? If we're going to blame anybody, let's blame our pastor first. Because that's what's happening right here. Blaming Elisha's fault because of the famine. Really? Oh, boy. And Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the sovereign sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how the son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? He knew the enemy was coming. He knew. Look. Look at the word look right there. When the messenger comes, shut the door and hold him fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him. While he was still speaking with them, then see, the messenger came down to him and he said, look, this evil is from Yehovah. Why should I wait for Yehovah any longer? I didn't have time to touch that part right here. How you know what the scripture says? We need to wait for Yehovah. It's one thing me and Brother Rob was telling me, we have to wait on him. We talked about in Bible study just Wednesday night about setting up roadblocks. You don't drive around it. You don't drive through the roadblock if Yehovah puts it there. Be patient and wait. Because if not, that's how accidents happen. You know, when people get impatient, especially you see this in the news pretty often. He tried to beat the barricade before the train came. And what happened? Because you wouldn't wait. We have to wait on Yehovah. As believe, we have to wait on Yehovah. Another incident, we were talking about the other day at the job site. Had a tugboat in the river up there right above New Orleans hit the tugboat, sank him. Thank God. I told my wife, thank God there was nobody died. But why would you not wait till the ship passed? Well, we thought we can beat the ship. Really? That's why you have to wait on Yehovah. In the spiritual sense, yes, it's your life. That's why we have to wait on him. That's what we learn. That's why when you see son of a murderer and you go to the sign, you can go to these, when you hit wait on him, you can go look at that. It brings you a bunch of scripture to go read. So this is a pretty big subject. Mm-hmm. Chapter 7. I have to just show you the storyline on this. Behold, how it's just in the scripture. And Elisha said, hear the word of Yehovah. Thus says Yehovah, about this time tomorrow, a seed of fine flour for a shekel and two seeds of barley for a shekel at the gate of Shemarim. We're in a famine. You tell me this is going to be? Yeah. I don't want to be like the captain of the guard and make a statement against the pastor or against the man of Elohim, because we're going to find out what's going to happen when people who do that. These things happen. We have to be careful. Choose our words carefully. And the officer whose hand the sovereign leaned answered the man of Elohim and said, look, here we go, if Yehovah is making windows in the heavens, shall this word come true? And he said, look, you are about to see it with your eyes, but not eat of it. Wow. We have to be careful how we speak to our pastor, our pastors. Let me not leave her out, because she's up there with him. But no respect right here for the man of Elohim, what he said. And there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. You remember the whole poor Gehazi? These guys? And they said to each other, why are we sitting here until we are dead? If we shall say, let us go into the city, the scarcity of food is in the city. Uh-oh. I just seen on the news this evening talking about some food deal. They're having some article going on, some deal going on with Van Franklin, whatever her name is, talking about the food distribution. They're having problems up there right now. This is just the beginning. Scarcity of food is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we shall die. And now, come let us surrender to the army of the Arameans. If they keep us alive, we live. And if they kill us, we shall die. That's speaking in faith right there. We might as well go, fellas. We dead men anyway. So at twilight, they rose up to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they had come to the outskirts of the camp of the Aramean camp, look, there was no one. No one was there. For Jehovah had caused the army of the Arameans to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army, and they said to each other, "Look, the sovereign of Israel has hired against us, the sovereign of the Hittites, and the sovereign of the Mishraim to come against us." Did I skip one? No, no, you did. So they rose up and fled at twilight and left the camp as it is. You think they would, y'all put fear in them? Their tents and their horses and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when y'all put fear in you, you ain't leaving. You leaving everything behind. So I thought this was, it's kind of a little funny spot. Because I think y'all sometimes kind of, the scripture says, he sits back and he laughs, scripture says. At somebody does what he can do to man, how he can just play with us. I mean, like Plato. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and took from there silver and gold and garments and went and hid them. And they came back and went into another tent and took from there and went and hid it. And they said to each other, here are four lepers. We're not doing right. Wow. If they realize, finally right here, that we're not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And we are keeping silent. Go back and look at your definitions. And if we wait until morning light, then evil shall come upon us. And now come, let us go and inform the house of the sovereign. And they came and called the gatekeepers to the city and informed them, saying, "We went to the camp of Aram, and look, there is not a man or a voice of a man, only horses tied and donkeys tied and the tents as they were." And the gatekeepers called, and they informed the house of the sovereign inside. So the sovereign rose up in the night and said to his servant, "Let me now inform you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are starving." You know that in Mitzrayim, if it wouldn't have been for Yosef, they'd have been starving. They're starving. So that they go out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, "When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and enter into the city." And one of his servants answered and said, "Please, let some take five of the horses that are left in the city. Look, they are like the entire crowd of Israel that are left in it. Look, they are like the entire crowd of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send and see." Then they took the two chariots with horses, and the sovereign sent them into the direction of the camp of Aram, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them in the Jordan, and look, all the way was littered with garments and weapons, which the Arameans have thrown away in their haste. And the messengers returned and reported to the sovereign. And the people went out and plundered the camp of Aram. So a seal of fine flour was for a shekel, and two seals of barley for a shekel, according to the word of Jehovah. This is what the word, what the man of Elohim said. This is what's going to happen. It's up to us to have faith to believe it. And the sovereign had appointed the officer on whose hand he had leaned to be in charge of the gate. I'm so thankful that that Yosef didn't act like this guy. See, the difference in the attitude right there. Difference in character. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, as the man of Elohim had said, who spoke when the sovereign came down to him. And it came to be, as the man of Elohim had spoken to the sovereign, saying, "Two seals of barley for a shekel, and a seal of fine flour for a shekel at this time tomorrow in the gate of Shemaron." That officer answered the man of Elohim and said, "Now look, if Jehovah is making windows in the heaven, Is it according to this word? One thing you're not going to do in this life is mock Jehovah and think you're going to get away with it. None of us. We're kidding ourselves. And he said, look, you're about to see it with your eyes, but not eat of it. And so it came to be for him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. When you mock Jehovah and think you get away with it, it only brings death. So this was just one passage right here that, reading verse 1 and 2, just drew me right here to look at this, especially with the seeing and saw. So I was like, this has got to be more. This morning means more than that. What about our master? I mean, that's a lot of verses in the Bible. It had to do with seeing, with Ray and all these. That, look, we didn't hear for a long time on this Ray. And behold, Hine. That's big definitions right there. It goes a long way. There's so many verses tied into that. So I'm going to try to give you all just two good places to go back and look. But there's so much more. In Yohanan, John chapter 1. And let's start at verse 29. Now we're going to see, this is not going to be re'e or hine, because this is the Greek now. But we're going to, when I'm pointing out, the definitions are the same. So you can see that it's going to be the same definition, even with in these Greek words. And I'm going to give you, there's so many that I wrote down that I'll just give you the numbers on it. And they all have to do with seeing or in that form of love, being of excited. And it goes on. In John chapter 1, verse 29, on the next day, Yohanan saw Yeshua. Now that word saw right there is G6991. I have it in there. It's blepo. It's compared to G3700. When you click that on, let me just give them all to you right now, because this is just so big. There's so many that I wrote down. It goes G3700 is optimi. It does another one, G3708. Horeo, G991, blepo, G2300, theomai, G2334, thoreo, G4648, stepo, G4649, skepos, G4629, skipama, G4626, skepto, which that last one, it means to dig. I'm like, well, you have to see to dig. You ain't digging blind, so you have to see. So these are just, so when you're going to go to, when you go see and saw and behold and lo, and this, and these passages we're next to read, it all goes into these Greek words, which all has to do with seeing, and the same words I pointed out in re'e and hine. This would be the cousins, if I had to just say it like that. This would be the cousins. And on the next day, Yohanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, see, the Lamb of Elohim who takes away the sins of the world. Beautiful. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who has become before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he might be revealed to Yisrael. Therefore, I came immersing in water. And Yohanan bore witness, saying, I have seen the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit coming down and remaining on him, this is he who immerses the set-apart Spirit. And I have seen and have witnessed that this is the Son of Elohim. So you can see that That's throughout from the beginning until the end. It has to do with seeing, with re'eh, hene, all these. One of the words, G2396, is Edu. It's pronounced Edu. The next one, G1492, is called Edu. Because it's just the way it's written. So you can see that seeing is very big in the scripture. Because why? Where did it start from? When she saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. Where did it start? It started in the beginning. And then even in the end, you can go to Revelation 68 times. You'll find that word, Edu, and many others. So my point is tonight is that seeing, well, we have to pray for these things. Let me see. Yeah, open my eyes to see the beauty of your word. This is something we should crave, to want to see, to where to go, how to navigate, help us navigate. Because in this lifetime, I'm going to tell you, it's short. He said it's like a vapor. It just is there for a minute and it's gone. We think we have a lot of time, but we really don't. Again, the following day, verse 35, Yohanan was standing with two of his taught ones. And looking at Yeshua walking, he said, "See the Lamb of Elohim." And the two taught ones heard him speaking and they followed Yeshua. And Yeshua turning and seeing them, I'm so glad he turned and saw me one day. And let me tell you, I was heading in the wrong direction. Following, and Yeshua turning and seeing them following, said to him, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." So this, I'm going to tell you, Seesaw has been in there a long time. We just couldn't see it. Or we think we saw it. You can make a little pun, I guess, or something over that. You know what? Something before I go too far, there was something that really caught my attention. It was in one of the definitions. So hold your spot right there. Let me go back to before I forget, man, because I was just reminded that this was important. Back to 2 Kings. And it had to do with one of the words with seeing and saw. It's one of the definitions of something I want to point out. I had to screenshot it on my phone, so that's why I'm looking for it here in the. Okay. It was in the word behold. Somebody. Somebody help me for a second. Go to the word behold. I need to get to the definition. Behold, there you go. 2009. I really want to point this out. And right now, I just come to a blank on it. And I really thought that was it. I know it's in here. It was a word I came across. I'm going to just share it with y'all. I came across the word, and it was in the, let me make sure I can write it down. It's called Kupla. C-O-U-Kupla. C-O-U-P-L-A. So I had to look at that and say, what is that? Because it had to do with English and grammar. It was in the definition. That's what it was. Somewhere down in here. Man, I apologize for that too. I should have wrote it down better than just going at it and looking at it. And it means a connecting word in a particular or a form of the verb be connecting a subject and complement. Or in statistics, a Kupla, C-O-U-P-U-L-A, is a function that connects
multivariate distribution functions to the other one dimension margin distribution. The term comes from a Latin word cupare, mean to join. Cupares are used to describe the dependent structure of random vectors and are particularly important in finance and insurance. How they work, coupons allow the decomposition of a joint probability distribution into its marginals and coupling functions. It has many one of y'all can probably say it better than what I can. Has many multiple meanings, including the word in linguistics, a function in statistics, and in grammatical construct in Irish. Linguistics, statistics, it's Irish grammar, arts and media, and this was a word in one of the definitions. I wanted to point it out, but I lost track of it, and I apologize about it. But I wondered why it just came up to me. I wanted to mention it. But back to John. Back on the scene. Verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who has come before me, for he was before me. And I did not know him, but that he might be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came immersing in water. And Yohanan bear witness, saying, I have seen the Spirit coming down from heaven. I have seen the Spirit coming down from the heaven, from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I did not know him, but he who sent me to immerse in water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit coming down and remaining on him, this is he who immerses in the set apart Spirit. And I have seen and have witnessed that this is the Son of Elohim. And the following day, Yohanan was standing with two of his taught ones, and looking at Yeshua walking, he said, see the Lamb of Elohim. And his two taught ones heard him speaking, and they followed Yeshua. And Yeshua, turning and seeing them following, said to him, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They went and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. Andre, the brother of Shimon Kephel, was one of the two who heard from Yohanan and followed him. First, he found his own brother, Shimon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means the anointed. And he brought him to Yeshua. And looking at him, Yeshua said, you are Shimon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Kepha, which means a stone. And on the following day, verse 43, Yeshua wished to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, follow me. And Kepha was from Bethsaida, the city of Andre and Kepha. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moshe wrote of in the Torah. How important is that? That when people say, well, we're unhitched from that. How are you going to know you got the right Yeshua if you're unhitched from where he's written that? I thought that was so beautiful that you put that part in there. And the prophets, not only in the Torah, and the prophets. Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, is it possible for any good matter to come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Man, I'm telling you, this is just so beautiful. And Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him, and said of him, see, truly a Yishrieli, in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, from where do you know me? Yeshua answered and said to him, before Philip called you, you were under the fig tree, I saw you. I'm so thankful that he saw you and I today. Amen. You and that in this time in 2025, we'll be sitting here tonight, reading about his life, reading what Moshe had wrote about him in the Torah and the prophets and in the Psalms, that we can go back and see in his word just where we are. Mm-hmm. Nathanael Daniel answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the son of Elohim. You are the sovereign of Israel. Yeshua answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? Faith? That takes faith. Greater than this, you shall see. I'm looking for the greater. Hey, you know the greater is coming. Boy, when it comes, the scripture says every eye is going to behold him. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Man, I tell you, when you're going to see, there's going to be no mistake. For the believer, there won't be no mistake. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, and from now on, you shall see the heavens open and the messengers of Elohim ascending and descending upon the son of Adam. And now you know we covered that. Because what did Yaakov lay in there, and what a dream he had that he saw, this great vision. And all these other things that points us to where we're at in the scripture right now, what we're going to learn more about tomorrow. But that's all I really had for tonight. It just had to do with the seeing and saw and how it's all over. The definition, like I said, in the Greek compared to the Hebrew, the definitions are the same. So just take your time, go back and look at, spend time, look, peering. Just spend time in his word, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. How, when you, what really drew me was the definitions. When I look at the definition, and it's here, and it could be over there. So it's in his word. We just have to want to spend time with it. Amen? Amen. Thank you all for coming. When I'm right now, it looks like it's so much, but it's like, man, I don't know how I'm ever going to cover it all. But anyway, like I said, I apologize for that one word, because I wanted to show you how it fits in there, because it's in the definition. Maybe tomorrow during Midrash or something, I can go back and find out and show you exactly where I saw it at, this word. When you don't know, you Google. Technology today, it teaches us, it helps us, you know, because look, I need help. I don't have all that brains, but I do rest my brain power, though. Oh, look, I love it. You have to fall in love with his word. At the bottom line, you have to fall in love with his word. Like I said, and I get excited when I spend time with him, and just these little nuggets, you know, that I get that I just want to share, because it's just so beautiful. Amen?